This is Kevin Burke from the School of Kinesiology and Recreation at Illinois State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, we're doing the Barney and the Choir episode. And I, even saying that title, I have to start laughing because this is one of my favorite episodes. There's so many funny scenes in this episode. The first time this came on, it aired on February 19th, 1962. It was written by Charles Stewart and Jack Ellison. It was directed by Bob Sweeney. Well, the episode opens up with Barney in the courthouse singing Nita, One Nita. And as the camera pans over to Andy, you can see that Andy's had just about enough of it, that Barney's singing is driving him crazy. And one of the things you might want to notice about the Andy Griffith Show, there are times when Barney and Andy sing and they sound great, but they're in this particular episode, and then there's another one, Barney just doesn't have a good voice. So I don't know if there's an inconsistency or maybe the type of song that they were trying to do, but it's sort of funny how this happens. But while Barney goes in the back, Aunt Bee comes in with their lunch, and Andy's complaining about having to listen to Barney sing, and Aunt Bee's trying to tell him to be a good soldier until Barney starts singing again, and she gives him a sandwich to stuff in his mouth. So while they're all three in the courthouse, John Masters comes in. We're going to talk about John Masters a little bit at the end of this episode, because he was really someone who did a lot of television and radio. His resume is unbelievable. His real name was Alan Soule, by the way. But let's get back to the episode. He comes in and says Ralph Pritchard has dropped out of the choir. He's having to travel 2 out of the 3 weeks, so he just needed someone else, needed a tenor. Now, here's where I think it's just brilliant to watch Don Knotts doing Barney Fife's facial expressions. And as soon as he hears there's a place open up in the choir, Barney starts to do these funny facial expressions, and he starts hinting about how he could sing in the choir, and Andy's like, oh no, we don't want this to happen, but before he knows it, John Masters comes in and invites Barney to join the choir. And Andy's not too happy about it. But this next scene that we're about to listen to is one of my favorite in this episode, where Andy and Thelma Lou are talking about Barney joining the choir.
Barney's going to be in the choir? My Barney?
That's right.
But Barney can't sing.
I know.
He's a warm, wonderful person, and I love him dearly, but he can't sing.
That's true.
He's kind, considerate, good-hearted, the most gentle person I've ever known, but he can't sing.
You're right.
He's the man I want to marry, the man I want to be the father of my children.
But he can't sing.
Not a lick.
And after that discussion, you see it goes to the part of the scene where Barney has his first practice with the choir. And as he's... The first time they start in the good old 14A, you start to hear an off-key voice. Well, you can guess who that is. That's Barney Fife. And so John Masters stops the choir and says, I hear a voice that's off-key. And so Barney decides he'll help John figure out who the problem is by moving around the choir and to listen for everyone. And by doing so, John Masters and everybody else learns that Barney can't sing. And again, it's just another hilarious episode. So they go to another scene where you see Andy and a group at the house, and they're trying to figure out a way to tell Barney that he needs to get out of the choir. And out of desperation, in the next scene, you see John Masters move the rehearsal over to his house, and nobody told Barney. They wanted to practice at least one time without Barney. Now, again, the constant theme throughout the Andy Griffith Show is how they care for each other. You know, why doesn't somebody just go up and tell Barney he has to get out of the choir? They go to all of this trouble because they don't want to hurt his feelings. Again, as Andy Griffith said, one of the things that made this show different is that they really cared about each other, and they went to great lengths not to hurt each other's feelings. So they start the rehearsal at John Masters' house, Barney-less, and Barney happens to drive by and hears a choir singing and walks in and said, somebody ought to tell me if you're going to move the choir. And so they they start singing with Barney again. They decide they're going to have to tell Barney, and Andy decides that he'll do it. And so they have Barney over to the house to eat, and Thelma Lou and Aunt Bee and Opie are there. And as they start to tell him, Barney misunderstands what they're talking about, and suggests they start to practice. So they go over to piano, and they start to do the song. And I love this scene, too. And Opie's standing there, and as they start singing, Opie starts turning around and says, somebody sounds terrible. And, of course, it's Barney. And then he goes, it's Barney. And what I love about this scene is Andy's covering up Opie's mouth so he won't yell out that it's Barney. Again, great writing. But, again, just one of the things I loved about the Andy Griffith Show, they just wrote so well and made things so funny it's hard to believe. But Andy comes up with one of his quick schemes where he looks down Barney's throat and he's trying to convince him that he's sick. And so everybody gets Barney out the door and they think they've got their problem solved. But Barney, being wanting to be involved in the choir, goes by to see Doc Carruthers. He comes back to Andy's house late that night and basically finds out from Doc Carruthers that he's not sick, and Andy realizes they're back in trouble again. But one of the parts about this scene that I always remember is that Barney comes in and says, talking about everybody having a uvula, and says, "All God's children got a uvula," and then Andy's reaction, he goes, "Hallelujah." It's such deadpan. It's a great part of this episode. So the next thing they try to conjure up, again not to hurt Barney's feelings, is Andy decides they're going to try to talk Barney into doing resuscitations and just reciting his part in the choir. And it looks like it's going to work, and Barney starts to do his recitation. Then all of a sudden he starts singing and they stop the choir, and Andy's like, "What's going on?" And Barney just says, "I'm born to sing. Can you make a bird go chirp, chirp, chirp?" And so they realize they're back to square one. So they have one final idea. Andy comes up with a way to get Barney to hide Barney's voice, and again this is ingenious. And what Andy decides to do is to tell Barney that they've purchased a solo microphone, and it's especially for a solo singer. And so Andy convinces Barney that he needs to sing real low, as Andy will say, into the microphone. And during the practice and trying to convince Barney to sing low, Barney sings over and over until he gets where you can't hear him at all. Now, one of the things you need to look at in this episode is watch the man and the woman standing in the background. I really believe this adds to the episode. So they're back there laughing and smiling because, you know, they're pulling this on Barney, and, you know, they can't believe he's buying it either. But, you know, you have to pay attention to some of the background stuff. It really makes Andy Griffith's show so realistic. And so they convince Barney needs to sing real low because when they do their actual performance, the microphone will be really hot and it'll be loud. So they go to their performance, and just before Barney's singing, he's standing off to the side. You see Andy give him the okay sign and then motions him to sing real low. And again, probably my second favorite part of this episode is when Barney starts to sing. A gentleman has walked out of the choir and goes in the back singing into a live microphone, while Barney's solo microphone — solo really just means dead, his microphone's not on at all. And so when Barney's face, when he hears his voice coming through the supposed solo microphone, and, you know, he's actually lip syncing, but his face is just absolutely hilarious, and he actually believes that that's his voice. Again, I can't tell you how many times I watch this, and I can't help but laugh over and over when I watch that scene. Well, the episode finally ends with Barney sweeping around the courthouse, and Barney had won the prize for being the best performer. And what he got was a $10 merchandise certificate. And so Andy comes up again with a brilliant idea, telling Barney because he's been paid with that $10 certificate that he can't perform with the choir anymore because now he's a professional singer. Again, how they come up with this stuff, I don't know. And the episode ends as it began, with Barney singing Juanita. And so you see Andy back in the same thing it started. And this is the thing that's about the episode. He starts out with Andy having to listen to Barney sing, and they go to all this trouble, and he ends up with him still having to listen to Barney sing. So again, I think one of the classic episodes. It would definitely be on my top 10 list. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Olin Soul. And that's spelled S-O-U-L-E, who plays John Masters in this episode. He really became famous on the radio during the golden days in the 1930s and 40s. He was on the radio series The First Nighter, which went for quite some time. And then, I'm skipping a lot of stuff. You just don't realize how much stuff he's actually done. From 1957 to 1963, he played Mr. McGinnis, the hotel manager, on a Western series Have Gun, Will Travel. I certainly remember seeing some of those episodes. He also had many roles, recurring roles, on Dragnet and My Three Sons. He even appeared on Mr. Ed. You know, it was one of my favorite shows growing up. And I'm a big Batman fan, and you may not have known this, Mr. Soul, actually on the cartoon series Super Friends, did the voice of Batman. And sticking with Batman, he was actually on two of the episodes of Batman with Adam West in 1966. And I really could, honestly, he's been on Love Boat, The Munsters, I Love Lucy, Mayberry RFD, The Monkees, The Real McCoys, Petticoat Junction. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. It's just unbelievable the resume that he had. So again, it was John Masters, and really Olin Soul just had a great radio and television career. Now it's time for the trivia question. Remember I mentioned that when Barney had to sing into the dead microphone, he had to sing low. Well, someone had to step backstage and sing into a live microphone. What was the name of the gentleman who stepped backstage to sing into that live microphone? Again, the trivia question is, what is the name of the gentleman who stepped backstage to sing into the live microphone while Barney lip-synced those same words? If you know what the answer is to that trivia question, you're welcome to email me at kburke, this is a new email address, kburke at ilstu.edu. I'll give that to you again, kburke, kburke at ilstu.edu, and I'll tell you whether you got it right or not. Or if you want to check your answer yourself, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com, and you can find the title of this episode, Barney and the Choir. In parentheses beside it, you'll see the answer to this trivia question. I appreciate those of you who continually send emails making comments about Burke on Mayberry. I also want to encourage you to go over to Two Chairs No Waiting, where a friend of mine by the name of Alan Newsom does what we think is the only other Mayberry podcast that I think you'd really enjoy. But if you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to contact me at kburke@ilstu.edu. And thanks again for listening to Burke on Mayberry, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.